Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
And Fred Jackson.
Here, and it's a very pleasant day outside.
Is it?
Yeah. If you don't mind cold, but it's sunny. So I'll take it, as long as it's sunny.
I like sunshine and no wind if it's going to be cold. Going to a place much colder than it is in Tupelo is Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Where our good friend Ray Pritchard is on the phone, on the Comrex.
But people yeah, 16 degrees, but it's sunny. I feel like Fred. I can deal with the cold if we can just get some sunshine.
So, that's right.
Are you It's 16 degrees on March the 5th.
It's wrong. It's illegal. Somebody needs to pass a law about this.
I was reading last night that it's like the coldest it's been in years and years. For this time of March.
Well, we just had a story on the news. I think it was the coldest March 4th in Montana's history yesterday. I don't know what temp was, but coldest in history. It makes you want to slap people who believe in global warming. It really does. Are you kidding me?
We could use some right now.
That's right.
As I've said many times, things like this, Al Gore just can't catch a break.
No.
You know, he just can't get any. He can't get anything going. Can't get any momentum building for himself, and the climate change, global warming. Of course, they changed that. It was global warming for all those years, Al Gore.
Right.
And then when there wasn't warming, then they had to change it to
climate change.
Right.
Climate change.
Yes. And that way you win. Every day,
no matter what, because the climate always changes.
You know, the climate's been changing. It changes all the time because the earth.
It's called seasons.
Right. Right. And I'm talking about even if the climate does change here or there. By the way, I'll take a little more warmth. I think more people would die in a global cooling than would in a global warming. But anyway,
I think the Garden of Eden was really nice.
We messed it up, didn't we?
Oh yeah,
I think the Garden of Eden was perfect.
We messed it up. All right. So anyway, we will continue to, hear doomsayers on climate change say I think 12 years is now the prediction for the end of the.
According to AOC,
end of the world. 12 years.
12
we got
years.
12 years. And then they'll readjust after that. All right, so much to talk about. Here with me is our panel here, our distinguished panel, to discuss what's going on. By the way, we'll have Dr. Frank Turek coming up at 15 after. And then we got Sandy Rios coming up at the bottom of the hour. So if you don't like what we have to say, just hang around, okay? Because those are smart people coming up in a few minutes. What do you got, Fred? Let me give Walker a chance to promote our internet presence.
All right.
Glad you gave me a chance.
There you go, Walker.
I was biting at the bit over
go
here.
Go for it.
Yeah, we're on Facebook and YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues. You can watch the show at either place, Facebook, YouTube. Type in Today's Issues. And lastly, you can listen live to the show at AFR.net. That's our website, AFR.net. So multiple ways to keep up with the show today.
All right, now, Fred.
All right. Tomorrow... And this is the first that I can ever remember happening in the House in Washington. But House Democrats are going to offer a resolution Wednesday, tomorrow, condemning anti-Semitism. But here's the interesting part of all this, folks. The reason they're doing it is because of one of their own, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar of Minnesota. She's done it again. She is speaking out against the nation of Israel, speaking out against people who support, including her fellow Democrats, who support the nation of Israel. Now, remember back a few weeks ago, she had to apologize for some anti-Semitic remarks. Well, she kind of apologized by saying, I'm sorry if it upset you. She didn't say, I'm sorry, I said it. Sorry if it upset you. But she did it again, as I say, in the last few days. And so tomorrow, in response to a huge backlash, House Democrats will present this resolution. I'm sure it'll pass on a bipartisan basis. But Congresswoman Omar, she just says she's misunderstood. In fact, she went even further yesterday in explaining or trying to explain herself by saying, you know, she and her fellow Democrat Muslim from Michigan, Tlaib, Congresswoman Tlaib, she says, you guys are against us and giving us a hard time because we're Muslims. Well, we talked to a good friend, Gary Bauer, at Campaign for Working Families yesterday, and asked him what he thinks is behind Omar being willing to perhaps jeopardize her standing in the Democratic Party. Why is she saying these things and doesn't appear to be sorry for it? Cut number six.
This is more troubling even than her comments. I think it's very likely that she is accurately representing the congressional district that she's been elected from. It is a congressional district that is has a large percentage of Somalian immigrants in it. And a number of studies over the years have shown that Somalia is the country that is riddled with anti-Semitism. And so it is not to excuse in any way her comments, but actually to raise a larger issue of when are we going to start in our immigration policies making some sort of check to make sure that we are not importing into the United States anti-Semitism, support for Sharia law, and some of the other things that we see in the third world, and we're bringing it right here into the United States.
And I think the point that Bauer was making there is this is what we've seen happen in Europe with open immigration from Muslim countries, and the degree of anti-Semitism has grown dramatically. Places like France, Jews are fleeing to Israel in France because they can no longer live in France because of the degree of anti-Semitism. Here's the other thing, that Congresswoman Omar, she is a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. The chairman, of course, is a Democrat right now, Elliot Engel. He's really upset with what she has to say. But here's the thing. They'll probably pass the resolution tomorrow. But are they going to take the extra step, as some people have suggested, she should be thrown off that committee? Mm-hmm. Are they Democrats willing to do that? So she's continuing to cause problems for the Democratic Party. And we're going to see just how tolerant they are of her viewpoints. As I say, one thing to pass a resolution, but what are you going to do? Are you going to keep her on this Foreign Affairs Committee? Interesting to see.
Yeah, I think the Democrats are trying to distance themselves from this, from her comments, because they don't want this to come up during the campaign season in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all about making things, getting things back in order so that they can say, well, you know, we passed a resolution denouncing that. But, you know, another example of this is we had Steve King in Iowa who did an interview with the New York Times. He's a Republican, and the quote, you know, he said something to the extent of, I don't, white supremacy, nationalism, on and on and on. I don't know why these terms are so offensive. Anyways, my point is the Republican conference booted him from all committees. He can't even be on a committee anymore. And they passed a resolution against his statements, and which he voted for that resolution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to clarify on that, don't want to spend too much time on that, but Steve King, who's been on our program before from Iowa, who was, as you say, removed from his committee appointments, or chairmanships at least, by Republican leadership, he did an off-the-record, not an off-the-record, a not taped
right
interview with the New York Times, which is dumb.
For an hour.
I mean, with all due respect to the congressman, but he said, but then when he explained what he was saying, he was taken out of context,
right?
And intentionally miss. If you just read what he said that in the quote in the New York Times, you would say, "Well, that's terrible. Why would you say something like that?" And then when you hear him explain what happened, you go, "Well, that makes that you know I understand what happened right there, but still." When you do an interview with the New York Times and you're a conservative and you don't tape it, come on.
But it shows the double standard here. The Democrats went after Steve King. He's got to go. He's got to step down. Mm. But their own do something like anti-Semitic, like she has done multiple times, then we just need to pass a little resolution.
Yes. In other words, they're not removing her from her.
To Fred's point, yeah, yes, from the committee.
Yes, they are.
Do
doing
you think? Do you think she will vote tomorrow, if it comes up tomorrow, Fred, will she vote in favor of that resolution? I mean, it's not going to have her name in it, but it's aimed at her. Will she vote for it or abstain or have the guts to vote against it? Because if she's true to her convictions, she really should vote against it, right. But I'm not sure she'll do that.
Her argument has been is that she's not anti-Semitic. She says Congress as a whole, Democrats and Republicans, seem to favor Israel over Palestinians. So I think she would be willing to vote for it because she says she's not anti-Semitic.
Right.
But I don't think she's going to stop making statements that are painted her into that corner that she is anti-Semitic.
I don't know. She sounds like to me she's the female version of Louis Farrakhan. Maybe not quite as explicit with her language, but the philosophy, the ideology is the same. And Louis Farrakhan the other day, you know, was encouraging her to keep it up. You know,
well, and we do know her fellow Muslim congresswoman from Michigan, Rashida Tlaib, she's a good friend of Louis Farrakhan.
Yeah,
there is no debate about that.
Farrakhan's, you know, he doesn't like. Well, he can't stand Jews, and he's not big on white people either. So he probably doesn't like you, Fred. I mean, I'm looking at you. You're white.
Yeah,
he probably doesn't like you. So, Farrakhan is racist and also anti-Semitic.
Very much so.
You're listening to the radio. That's going to be a problem right there. A continual problem for the Democrats. You watch. I mean, that's a big issue because they got a lot of Jews. To support the Democrats, and they have a lot of Muslims who support the Democrats and sympathizers with the Palestinian people's plight there. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Our guest now is Dr. Frank Turek from Cross Examined. Good morning, Frank.
Tim, we all worship a Jew. He doesn't like any of us.
All right. Do you want to explain yourself there?
Because that's well, open Jesus to... is Jewish.
Jesus is Jewish, true.
We're all worshiping a Jewish person.
Yes.
And so Farrakhan doesn't like any of us.
Okay. So we're Jews?
Huh?
I don't know. Let's start over. Rewind this segment right here. You lost me right there. Repeat yourself again.
I'm saying that it's not just because we support Israel or because we have a different color skin, but the very fact that we're worshiping a Jewish person in his human nature, Jesus, that probably turns Farrakhan off as well, don't you think?
Probably. So. The fact that we worship Jesus Christ and not Allah or Muhammad, or we revere Muhammad. So how did your trip to, what university did you go to last week?
Well, I was at Edison State University last week, or it's actually a community college in Piqua, Ohio. Had a great crowd there, but I got to tell you, something happened right after that. I went to a prison right after that, not as a inmate, but to speak to the groups there. And let me tell you something, Tim, they listen to AFR in there.
Where is this now?
This is in outside of Columbus, Ohio. They
They
say we listen to AFR in this prison.
Wow.
Yeah, we have a lot of
lifeline for the Christians. Yeah,
praise God for that. We have a lot of listeners in Columbus, Ohio area, and that's wonderful to know. We reach into prisons. You know, that's the great thing about radio; it can go anywhere, right? Amen. Prisons, hospitals, nursing homes, wherever the case may be.
So you guys are making a difference with people who have really no other source of information. They don't have the internet in the
prison.
We couldn't bring our phones in. There's no computers there. Where they get their information from with regard to Christianity is AFR.
Wow.
Amen.
That's great.
Hey, let's talk about the topic this week. What is our discussion going to be about?
Well, I think we need to push back on some of the governors out there, particularly like Governor Cuomo, who, after he celebrated the fact that he made it legal for women to kill their babies right up to the point of birth, maybe even after birth, he tried to say that any pro-life argument against that, Tim, is a religious argument, thereby implying that you couldn't put it into law, that, you know, separation of church and state and all this. I think we need to push back on that and clarify that.
Is he in that category, Frank, of people who say, I'm personally opposed to abortion? We hear some liberal Catholic politicians saying, personally, I'm against it, but from a government point of view, we have to allow it. Is that sort of the basis of his? But he is Catholic, right? I mean, is that part of his?
Yeah, well, his father said the same thing, Mario Cuomo. I don't know if Andrew has said the same thing, that he's personally opposed. But it's really silly to say this is a religious argument and therefore it can't be put into law, because if that were the case, we couldn't have any laws. We couldn't have laws against murder. We couldn't have laws against theft. These are laws in the Bible. So if you're just going to say, well, since it's in the Bible, it can't be put into law, well, then how could you make any laws? It's silly. And the second thing I'd like to say about it is, this has nothing to do with the separation of church and state. We could talk about why that's not in the Constitution. It's not, but even if it is, it's irrelevant. Why? Because when you're putting laws in about who not to kill, you're not trying to set up a national church, or you're not trying to legislate religion. We're not trying to tell people where, when, how, or if to worship. That would be legislating religion. But we are trying to tell people how they ought to treat one another. And that's legislating morality, and that's what everybody does. In fact, all laws legislate morality. And Cuomo, Governor Cuomo, is trying to legislate his morality. In fact, he says a woman, notice he says, a woman has a moral right to choose what she does with her baby. Well, that's a moral position. He's trying to legislate a moral position. And notice, the baby, according to him, doesn't have any rights. The father has no rights. According to him, the government has no rights. The woman has an absolute right to kill her child, according to Cuomo. And so he's trying to legislate from a moral position as well. And, you know, when people say to me, well, don't impose your morality on me, I say, why not? Would that be immoral? And by the way, that's what they're doing, right? They're trying to impose their morality on us by saying you ought not impose ought nots. They're imposing an ought not on us, telling us we can't impose our moral position, but they can impose their moral position.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Well, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Our guest is Frank Turek from Cross Examined. You have a book on that very topic right there, which helps Christians understand how to discuss and debate those who say, don't push your morality on me, or you're imposing your religion on me. What book is that?
Yeah, that book is called Legislating Morality. What a title, huh?
Yeah.
It came out about 20 years ago, but it's kind of an evergreen book. It doesn't really deal with current events. It's dealing with the fact that all laws legislate morality. The only question is whose morality. And sometimes when people say, don't impose your morality on me, I'll say to them, this isn't my morality. I didn't make this stuff up. I didn't make up the fact that murder's wrong, that abortion's wrong, that rape is wrong, that theft is wrong, that men were made for women and women were made for men, and the best way to perpetuate and stabilize society, which is the reason the government's in marriage to begin with, is to legally recognize the union of a man and a woman over any other sexual relationship. I didn't make any of this up. This isn't my morality. This just happens to be the morality, the one Thomas Jefferson said was self-evident. And if you've got a problem with that morality, you don't have a problem with me. You have a problem with the Creator, whose very nature defines what right and wrong is. So I'm not trying to impose my moral point of view. I'm trying to impose the moral point of view. And by the way, everybody knows this moral point of view. We just suppress it. We just don't like it. And it seems to me that Governor Cuomo doesn't like the morality, so he wants to impose his own.
You know, amen to everything you just said. And by the way, you mentioned Jefferson. President George Washington said the very same thing in his farewell address, talking about.
What did he say? Something like, "Religion and morality are indispensable supports for any free society."
Yes.
I mean, imagine, Tim, if we could only legislate morals that were not in the Bible, could we have any? Could we have any moral laws at all? I mean, just about every law we have is some sort of derivative of one of the Ten Commandments.
I know. If somebody were to say, "Well, you can't impose your morality on me or us," and then you say, "Well, do you believe thou shalt not murder?"
Uh huh.
And but if you say, "Well, murder's against the law," And you say, well, that's in position of a moral law, which is given to us in the Ten Commandments. So are we to negate, to Frank's point here, are we to negate the law that forbids us to murder somebody just because it's also in the Bible as one of the Ten Commandments? You know, let me ask you something. I know you don't live in New York, and Ray, you may want to comment on this as well. Cuomo and Governor Andrew Cuomo, his daddy was Mario Cuomo. This guy just seems to detest Christians, and people who are pro-life or pro-traditional marriage. I mean, he's almost ugly about it. You're not welcome in the state of New York. Mm-hmm. I'm not big into body language really, but his face and his eyes, and when he talks about people who are pro-life, he just almost starts spitting. Have you noticed the same thing with this guy?
He seems viscerally opposed, not just intellectually, not just morally, but as if there is a hatred of Christians, Christianity, the Bible, the pro-life side. So, Frank, theologically, I mean, how do we understand his evident distaste for everybody on our side of the issue?
Well, I don't know, Ray. I'd probably go to Romans chapter 1. Mm-hmm. And as you know, that kind of digression in Romans chapter 1, when you start out simply by suppressing the truth, and by the time you get to the end of the chapter, you not only have a futile mind, but you're cheering people on who are doing evil. And in Governor Cuomo's case, that's exactly what he asked people to do. Mm-hmm. He celebrated the actual murder of fully developed children. He even had the Freedom Tower, a place where 3,000 Americans were murdered. He had it lit up in pink as a celebration that we can now murder more people legally. Mm. I mean, look, a lot of people think it's crazy to believe in Satan, but I don't think people can do this on their own. Now, look, I'm not saying Governor Cuomo's possessed. Don't get me wrong. I'm simply saying that there's an evil force out there that motivates people to do things that they normally wouldn't do on their own.
Mm-hmm. Mm, absolutely. What do you got coming up this weekend on your show here on AFR?
Well, I got a lot more interesting material that I don't know what it is yet, Tim, because it's only Tuesday. But
well,
I'm going to do something
that's
exciting.
That's true. You mean you just quit asking you?
Sometimes I know.
It's like asking the pastor what he's going to preach on, but asking him on Monday morning what he's going to preach on.
Yeah, kind of, I guess, unfair because God will reveal to Frank.
That's right.
On Friday, what he's supposed to talk about on Saturday.
Well, I want to thank you guys for hosting us. It's every week, Saturday morning at 10 a.m.
Live. Most of the time, it's live. Live radio. And very, very popular with our listeners. Tune in to Cross-Examined, 9 a.m. Central Time each Saturday here on AFR. Frank, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, gentlemen. God bless you all. See you next week.
Okay, Turek. Frank Turek, T-U-R-E-K. All right, we're going to take a break right here. And Sandy Rios will join us in just a few minutes. And we appreciate you listening to American Family Radio. That was Ray, that was really good. He was talking the way Frank described it, because we're always told as Christians, you need to shut up and quit imposing your morality on everybody.
That's right. That we ought not to impose our ought nots.
Right.
Well, who are you to say that? That's a terrific argument. Whose ought not is going to win here?
Somebody, you know, everybody's politics is affected by their worldview, whether they're an atheist or a Christian or a Muslim or a universalist, whatever the case may be. We're all impacted by our belief about God or a non-belief about God. All right, we'll be back in about 2 or 3 minutes. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III of the Hamilton Corner.
It might appear as if things are cool, copacetic, and kosher, but the wise man knows you got to get beyond that surface level, Chief. You have to dig deep and find bedrock and erect your life on that foundation.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
The Arlington National Cemetery. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. On our spiritual heritage tour in September, we'll be going to the Arlington National Cemetery, where we will visit the tomb of the unknown soldier and the changing of the guard. What a moving ceremony that is. We'll spend several hours at the Arlington National Cemetery, what I consider really to be the crown jewel of our nation's capital. We're going to be going in September. We're going to be seeing all the sites in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. We'll also go to Mount Vernon, the home of George and Martha Washington. There's so much to do and see. We also have a Williamsburg, Jamestown, Yorktown part. If you'd like to go on that as well, you're welcome to do that in September. For all the information, simply visit the website spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. Taking the bus to senior prom. That story next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. Senior prom is just around the corner at New Jersey's Lakeland Regional High School. Many of the young men have been saving their pennies since freshman year, hoping to impress their dates with a lavish night of dinner and dancing. And a big part of the celebration is arriving in style. But this year, students at Lakeland Regional will not be allowed to rent limousines or luxury cars. Instead, prom goers have to ride in school buses. School leaders say the decision comes down to safety and equity. New Jersey 101.5, a local radio station, got their hands on a school report indicating school leaders were concerned that some students would feel left out because they could not afford a snazzy ride. So their solution was to put everyone on buses, unintentionally giving the boys and girls at Lakeland Regional High School a tutorial on socialism. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Walker, Fred, and Ray. Four of us here, so surely one of us can say something smart, you know? Surely. Hey, Ray, let me ask you for just a moment. We're going to go to Sandy momentarily, but I would like you, as you know, you've taught the scriptures for many years now. Hey, like that for a setup. That's always a setup.
I have no idea what's coming. I know.
You have no idea what I'm going to ask you.
That's right.
What Frank was talking about, though, a few minutes ago, in looking at the world today in terms of the hostility to Christianity, and I'm talking about we see it. We were talking about Governor Cuomo saying pro-lifers or people who don't believe in gay marriage are not welcome in the state of New York. That's what he said. I'm paraphrasing, but that's almost exactly what he said about a year ago or so. And we talked about, you know, being proud of your abortion policy up until birth, to the point where you light up the Freedom Tower in New York City to say, well, this is wonderful what we're doing here. And I asked Frank about this, Frank Turek, and he was talking about Romans chapter 1 in the Bible. For those who are new Christians, or maybe there are people listening who aren't Christians, and they're searching, or they would listen to what we have to say, And when we cite Romans chapter 1, which is a book in the New Testament of the Bible, what does it talk about and why is it relative to our discussion?
Well, the importance of Romans 1 is it gives the divine point of view on what is really happening on planet Earth. Romans 1:18 says that God has made the truth known to everybody, but men, because they are rebellious by nature, the Bible says they suppress the truth about God. Even so, certain things about God are so evident inside the human heart, and they're so evident in creation that something about God gets through to every single person. Doesn't matter, Muslim, Christian, Jewish, Confucian, Shinto, animist, nothing at all. Something about God gets through to every human heart. And the truth is, we all have a God. Either you worship the God who created you, the one true God, or you turn to a God of your own making. In Romans 1, it's just telling us, Tim, this is what happens. First, you suppress the truth. Then you refuse to acknowledge the God who made you. Then you are left without excuse. Then you turn to idolatry. And then it says three times in Romans 1, God gave them up or God gave them over. It's paradokan that's a Greek term. It means judicial. God judicially gave them over. He said, okay, you want to live without me? Fine, but you're not going to be happy with the results. So he gave them over to idolatry. He gave them over to gross immorality, and the preeminent example in Romans 1 is open homosexuality, but it includes everything that we would call immorality. So he gave them over. You want idolatry, you'll have it, you won't be happy. You want immorality, you'll have it, you won't be happy. And he gave them over to the total breakdown of society, so that there are haters of parents and haters of one another. There's thievery and bribery and murder and abortion and all the rest of it. But you get to the end of Romans 1, and it says not only do they do these things, that is, these evil things, but the final result of a society that's turned away from God is not only that they do the things that are wrong, but they celebrate the things that are wrong, and they praise those who do them. So the final mark of a God-forsaken society is that not only you widespread evil, but the celebration of widespread evil, which is why it was so horrendous to see the people in the New York legislature. And you know, there were hundreds of people up in the galleries. The wild demonic screams, cheering when that abortion bill passed. They were cheering the actual killing of a baby that survived an abortion, is born alive and put to death anyway. This is Roman. This is what Frank was trying to say. This is what happens when you turn away from God. Just let me summarize one other sentence, Tim, and I'm done. When you turn away from God, you never go up. You always go down. That's true for individuals, families, communities. It's also true for nations. That's really what's happened here in America today.
Excellent. Very well put. And I would just say, as we say in church sometimes, may God add his blessings to the preaching of the word, as Frank, as Ray just gave us. What Ray just described, Dr. Ray Pritchard there, is solid Bible teaching, folks. So if you want to know why the world hates us, by us, I mean those who hold up the Bible as a standard for right and wrong. Mm-hmm. He just described it. It's a spiritual war, quite frankly, played out on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Walker, again, if folks want to join us on the World Wide Web, how can they do that?
Yeah, two different ways. You can visit our social media pages on Facebook and YouTube. Just type in the show name, which is Today's Issues. And then if you want to visit our website directly, you can listen live there. You can also catch past shows.
We have a lot of people who download the podcast.
That's right.
So where's our podcast out there for downloading?
On our website, afr.net. There's a little podcast link, and then Today's Issues podcast is there. So you can listen to about a 20 to 30-day backlog of shows.
So if you want to binge on this show, you can?
You sure can. You can binge for hours on Today's Issues.
Like people do on Law and Order sometimes. All right. Joining us now is Sandy Rios. Sandy is Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association. Sandy's also heard each weekday morning on the show Sandy Rios in the Morning here on American Family Radio from 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim. Could I interject something before
Please
you ask
do.
Me a question? It was great to hear you, Ray. It reminds me of all those times you used to come into the studio with me in Chicago and in the midst of me covering all the political issues, national and local, of which there were many, we would talk about things like Romans 1. It was just so refreshing. You're such a great teacher. So
hey,
thanks
thank
for
you,
that.
Thank you, Sandy. Thank
You're
you.
You're welcome.
The interesting thing here is Ray's in Kansas City now. Sandy's not. But the funny thing is our relationship between Sandy and AFA and Ray and AFA were independent of one another. So the fact that they're on the radio together with us today and they had this professional relationship back in Chicago all those many years ago. Was that 30 years ago, Sandy?
'90s. Yeah. Is it the 90s? Is that 30 years ago?
See, I came to Oak Park in 1989, so it's 30 years this year. Wow.
Were you there when wait a second. You weren't the pastor when Jim Warren was there and he used to come and have me sing.
No, that was just before me. Jim was there. That was back in the 80s. But I came to Oak Park in 89. So you and I go back, let's say, almost 30 years.
Back
to the last century.
I'm telling you, it's funny y'all were talking about that because as you get older, and I know older is relative depending on, where you are in life, how you consider yourself getting older. But I'll be 56 tomorrow.
Happy birthday.
Oh,
yeah.
Birthday. Happy birthday.
Oh, I didn't mean
Happy birthday Eve.
No, I didn't mean to I didn't mean to say that so that you would send me a gift card or anything like that.
The address is.
Right. The address is. That's correct.
Anyway, you see people out. Like I saw somebody a couple of days ago at a restaurant I hadn't seen in many years. And they're like 10 years older than me, and I'm going, man. Last time I saw you, you were okay. Yeah. Now you're an old dude, man. I mean, but I didn't say that to him. You know what I'm saying? But he knew it if he looked in the mirror. But anyway, I'm not saying anything that people. But it's just kind of as the years go on, mm-hmm. we all change. And two of my little grandchildren, my little 4-year-old and 2-year-old, they want to know what happened to my hair. On top, they say, "What happened to your hair, Poppy?" You don't have any hair. You don't have any hair on top of your head. And they tell me this.
Yeah, the other day, Harden said, "Poppy, why are you just have it on the sides?
Why don't you have it on the top? You got hair on the sides."
And I got a kick out.
They're
of
like
that.
Perplexed. They're like, and then they see they get a rise out of me, and then they want to say it some more.
And do you say, because you're my grandson,
right.
look forward to it?
Yeah, that's right. The genetics will come back to get you. Okay? 50 years from now, your little 5-year-old is going to be asking where your hair is. So, how you like that? All right. So, Sandy, you were at Conservative Political Action Committee Annual Convention, CPAC. And that is a gathering of the conservative movement for all branches of it in one place as sort of a pep rally, if you will, or, place to reinvigorate. And tell us why you went there and what you experienced, if you would.
Well, they have a radio media row that's right outside the main hall. And I've been actually on that radio row since they started this. I don't even know what year that was. It could have been 30 years ago, too. I don't know.
Right.
Rub it in. But no, I don't think... No, it wasn't that long ago. But I have been there every year. And it's a wonderful opportunity to interview people face-to-face, which is always best. You know, when I was in Chicago, we used to really insist that people come into the studios, as Ray can attest.
Right. Right.
And I miss that a lot. So it gives me energy. Plus, because I've been in Washington so long, I have a lot of friends and relationships. And it's just a wonderful thing to see people. And then also to like, you know, Tom Fitton is a very good friend, and Tom, they moved me to a booth next to Judicial Watches. They have a podcast they do. They moved me next to their booth, and Tom came along, and I just grabbed him by the arm, and he says, "You want to do an interview?" You know, I didn't have to ask him because we're good friends. So he sat down, and we did a really interesting interview that will air this Friday. And just those kinds of things, I professionally really enjoy. But Tim, I have to say, the thing that I observed this year was that CPAC has, since I remember, has always had a lot of young people. And they generally are kind of stereotypical. They're like a lot of young guys in light blue Oxford shirts with navy blue jackets and khaki pants and red ties. That's kind of, and their hair cut high and tight, you know. There's been hordes of those kinds of kids there. And there's nothing wrong with that, except this year I noted something different. It seemed to me that the young people, and there were tons of them there, were more serious-minded, more mature, more really, rather than kind of enjoying the atmosphere of it and the proximity to well-known people, that they actually understood and were committed. And I think, you know, that makes a lot of sense when you see what's happening in the headlines. You see what's happening on college campuses and high schools. Kids are experiencing, they really are on the front lines of this culture battle and this political battle. And it would be a really dumb kid who did not know that. And so it's changing their attitude. It's not just business as usual. And I found that refreshing. They're smart, intelligent. They understand the issues, maybe sometimes the ones that go there, better than their elders. Mm-hmm. So that was really refreshing.
Let me ask you this, one other question I have, and maybe these gentlemen have a question for you, Sandy, but having been in and around D.C. for a long time now, I don't know if it's 30 years or not, we won't go into that again.
No, come on, over.
I'm sorry. I don't know why that came out.
Since 2001.
Okay.
Okay, so 18 years.
You're getting close. 10, yeah. No, it's 20. Anyway, let me ask you this. The new attorney general, his name is William Barr, mm-hmm. Bill Barr. He served with President Bush number two, right?
Right.
As his attorney general for 2 years. So he has experience in that office, in that job. What can we expect from him? What do you think we can expect from him in terms of... Well, he said he's not going to recuse himself from the Mueller investigation. Of course, that's probably about to wrap up, surely, to goodness. But what can we expect from him in terms of, you know, being a fighter for our side?
Well, here's the thing, Tim. I was very disappointed that he was appointed. And when I saw his hearing, I'm going to tell you. When I saw his hearing, and he kept talking about his good friend Bob mm-hmm. Mueller, yep. And he talked about how, you know, we found out that Bob Mueller was at both of his daughter's weddings. When William Barr introduced his family, and probably, it seemed to me, almost every single person worked for the federal government. My daughter so-and-so works with this agency. My son-in-law works for this agency. And I thought to myself, this is a bureaucrat. This is like Exhibit A of the swamp. People are in there. They help each other get jobs. They're kind of one big happy fraternity, and it's very lucrative. The social life is great, and I was just kind of heartsick, to be honest with you. But since that time, I've talked to a lot of people who, I don't know William Barr, and I'm not part of that scene, so how would I know? I've talked to people who sing his praises. They think he's wonderful, and they think he's going to do really good things. People that I trust. I think that for me personally, the jury's still out. I do know that he has made a lot of really fine appointments in the agency. I was just reading a whole long list of individual names that he's been appointing. Also, the fact that he announced that he's not recusing himself would make me, you know, Tim, that might mean he actually might make this thing draw to a close. Wouldn't that be something?
Mm-hmm.
So I have more optimism than I had, but for me, the jury's still out. I'm so skeptical.
Sandy, this is Walker. Wouldn't you say one of the problems is that in order for President Trump to get someone as Attorney General, they have to go through the Senate? And some might say, well, the Senate's run by Republicans. He could get whoever he wants. But that's not the case because the establishment they're only going to approve of people who think like them. And so isn't that another factor when it comes to who President Trump picks? Can they make it through the Senate?
Yeah, absolutely is, Walker. So he, you can look did, at it two
did,
ways.
But he did make it through the Senate.
No, well, I'm talking about, for example, some people would say, what about Trey Gowdy? And I know Sandy's opinion of Trey Gowdy, all talk and no action. But somebody tough, Ted Cruz, judge that does the Sunday night show on Fox News.
Judge Jeanine.
I mean, those
Andy
names.
Andy McCarthy, that's who I wanted.
Andrew McCarthy. Those names came up, but then the question was,
can they get through the Senate?
Senate approve of them? Mitt Romney, Collins, Murkowski, would they approve of him? And the answer is probably not.
Well, the answer is no. Yeah. And yes, Walker, you're very insightful on that. The thing about William Barr is, so we'll see. Was it a case of William Barr is going to be really good, but he could be confirmed? And part of the reason that he mentioned his friend Bob so often was to sort of trade on that, to make it to the nomination. Would that be possible? Wouldn't that be nice?
Right.
That's what some people are speculating. But again, I say, for me, the jury's out. Let's see what the man does.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I say. He can say a lot of things. Let's see what he does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, Sandy, thanks so much for being on with us this morning. And what are you going to talk about tomorrow? Do you know yet?
Tomorrow, I'm hoping to have Congressman Louie Gohmert to talk about all the investigations that are opening up in the House of Representatives on President Trump and his 60, associates, his tax returns, all of it, his family members. That's what I plan to talk about tomorrow.
Is this just going to be, I know the Democrats hate, with a capital H, President Trump, but I mean, is this just going to go, then the Mueller investigation, I guess, is about to wrap up and not much come from it. That's what we're hearing in terms of, illegalities. So the Democrats are now just going to harass? Is that what it's going to be, just legal harassment?
Yes, I think so. Okay. They'll keep him so tied up in court and all of his friends. And I was just reading an article this morning about the collateral damage of the Mueller investigations. Not speaking of Lieutenant Colonel Flynn, Lieutenant General Flynn, not speaking of Manafort, not speaking of Roger Stone, but other people whose names may not be quite as familiar, who've come under the scrutiny of the special counsel and who have had death threats, their businesses have been ruined. It's just amazing the damage that has been done by Bob Mueller and his out-of-control investigation. And so, by harassing these 60 other people, they have the potential to destroy them financially, to destroy their reputations, to tie them up in court. It's going to be a nightmare for them.
Yeah, and again, folks, remember, a special counsel, when appointed by the Justice Department of the United States government, is supposed to investigate a crime. Mm-hmm. Statutorily, is that right, Walker?
Yes, there has to be an identifiable crime from the get-go.
Okay, so there was not one.
No.
So, in my mind, the whole special counsel here is
null and void.
Is illegitimate.
Right.
Of course, you say that, Democrats, liberal media, they don't buy that. But statutorily, if you appoint a special counsel, they're supposed to have a identifiable crime that they're investigating, and they're investigating to see if a certain person or persons were involved in it. Mm-hmm. And in this case, it's a investigation in search of a crime.
Yes.
Right? Which can ruin a lot of people and has. I'm not saying you shouldn't be, everybody should obey the law, Manafort and Stone and the others too, whatever they're guilty of. I'm just saying, and we all know this is true, if you have a federal prosecutor, which is basically what Robert Mueller is, and you let him have, 10, 20 attorneys who are prosecutors who are all Democrats. They give money. They hate Trump and they hate Republicans, really. Mm-hmm. And you give them sort of unlimited power and unlimited money. Let me tell you something. They could investigate Mother Teresa.
Yep.
And find fraud or tax evasion or didn't pay your property tax.
Or perjury.
Perjury.
Yep.
They can make a non-crime sound like a crime. Tim, can I tell you something that just came into my inbox a few hours ago?
Yes.
There are some documents now that, for the first time, have been revealed about this Andrew Weissman, who is the lead counsel for Bob Mueller. You remember that he was on that Enron task force. He also went after Arthur Andersen. Both of those investigations destroyed those companies and caused people to go to prison. And it talks in this article, this is in The Federalist, it's written by Margot Cleveland, just so people will know. It talks about how people's lives were destroyed. They were destroyed economically. The same tactics that are being used by the Mueller team are being used, were used by Andrew Weissman when he was with the Enron investigation and the Andersen case. So it's really a nightmare story. It's got legal documents included, and it's just amazing. You'll probably be hearing about that on the news today.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Sandy, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Talk to you soon.
Okay. It's Sandy Rios. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. You want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net. Comments@afr.net. Fred, what's next?
Well, you know, we started off the program today talking about Democrat Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. Well, another fairly well-known freshman for the Democrats. And, of course, we're talking about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She is back in the news this morning. She may be in legal trouble. Now, listen to this. When you hear, you know, congresspeople have chief of staffs. Hers is a multimillionaire, and his name is Saikat Chakrabarty. And he set up what's called PACs, and to raise money for the campaign. The allegation is apparently he violated campaign finance laws by funneling nearly $1 million in contributions from political action committees to companies that he established. All right? So you have political action committees that are there to raise money for campaigns. But the allegation is he then took that money and transferred into companies that he controls. And and therefore able to avoid tracking by the FEC, Federal Elections Commission, as to where the money was going and how much of it was going. So the question is for her this morning. Now, she is saying, you know, apparently the initial response is, well, maybe she didn't know this was going on. But she's supposed to because she's the congresswoman in charge. He works for her. So she could be in trouble with the FEC. I mean, we're talking fines, and in some cases it can go all the way to
the Federal Elections Commission?
Yes.
So you do have federal election laws that everybody has to follow.
Yes.
And it appears there was a gross violation of those with this situation. And, you know, the old saying, ignorance is no excuse.
Right.
Yeah. So she can say, I don't know what she says, I didn't know about this. And she may be telling the truth for all I know. But when you have your chief of staff involved in this, you're not going to be exonerated unless you're Hillary Clinton.
You know, and this is so
that
ironic.
Funny,
that,
I said,
that,
can you hear that, Walker? Unless you're Hillary Clinton.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
She can do whatever she wants. But it's so ironic that these socialist Democrats campaign on we got to stop the cronyism, the corruption in D.C.
Right.
There's too much money in politics. But the $800,000 transferred to private accounts.
Yeah.
You know, like Bernie, he's flying private jets everywhere. He's got six houses or something like that.
Three houses, yeah.
Three houses?
Socialism is for all the little people.
That's
yes.
Right.
And the people who champion socialism, they want to live the good life.
There you go.
That's right.
They ain't riding the train.
No.
That's for. But everybody else should ride it.
Ride our bikes to work, huh?
Ride your bike to work, but I'm taking the Uber or the limo. All right, we'll be back. Thank you, Fred.
You're welcome.
We will return. All the little people here shall gather back again in 5 minutes with more of Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.